It's 6 minutes after the hour of noon Central Time. It's Thursday, December 30th, 2021, the day before New Year's Eve, when everybody gets to go out and, well, I don't know about partying and New Year's Eve revelry this time. You know, with lions and tigers and bears out there, hey, come on, put on your Tin Man hat and have a brain. Seriously? You know, if this whole COVID thing is really shaking you up, well, okay, I get it. You know, if you're going to hang around vaccinated people and you're not vaccinated, beware, you could catch COVID from these people. They're not going to get it from you. You'll get it from them because they've been jabbed and they have a problem. They're super spreaders and they get together despite what the administration says and how they want to make the unvaccinated your enemy. Just like they want to screw with your kids' brains when they get into school. Dave Krieger here with you on the Power Hour, and we try to get the guests on that are not only accomplished authors, but actually are participating in the American process. And that's what Michael Goldstein, who is an American thinker article writer, we brought him on the show because he's got a new article out in AmericanThinker.com, How to Remove Critical Race Theory from Our Schools. We have Michael Goldstein on air with us right now. Our phone number, 844-769-2944. Come on, you PO'd parents out there. Here's your chance to call in and find out what to do about a situation. I was just off mic a bit ago with Michael, and he was telling me that Cleveland School District is going to go remote learning again. Obviously, they've been drinking the Kool-Aid, and they understand that this Omicron, I call it the oh my God, or moronic, if you like to use anagrams, the moronic virus, is all a figment of the government's imagination. They're using this as a control mechanism. Michael Goldstein, welcome to the Power Hour, sir.
Thank you, Dave. It's really good for me to be here with you today. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, judging from my diatribe, you probably have figured out where my thought process is about all this. I mean, I saw, did what happened in Loudoun County, Virginia prompt you to do this, or you've been contemplating this years before?
I have been working on this for several years.
Okay.
Loudoun County, of course, is satanic territory. They're just, I mean, but that's, there are a couple of, I had some press releases. I haven't put this in an article, but I'm now in Arizona. And the Scottsdale School Board had a big controversy because the president of the school board was doing opposition research on all the parents who came in and spoke against critical race theory in the schools. There was a big demand that he resign. He didn't resign. He just resigned his presidency of the board and switched seats with the vice president, who is of the same political persuasion. So it didn't help at all. So the thing that parents have to understand is it's a big slog, and we're kind of getting into this sideways, but what parents have to do is learn what's going on and go into it for the long haul. They have to replace the local school boards who are facilitating, encouraging critical race theory indoctrination in their schools. So it's going to take you at least two election cycles to do that. You've got to elect people on our side once and then people on our side twice, and then you can get a 5-3 majority and you can begin to fix things.
I understand that. And, of course, 844-769-2944. I'm going to keep giving that number out until the phones start lighting up, because we need your input here, because I know there are parents out there. We have a lot of homeschoolers, and their parents obviously are homeschooling them now, Michael, because of the fact they know what's going on and the garbage that these kids are being taught and how satanic this stuff is. What are the, I guess the first thing we should start out with, how do you identify if this garbage is going on in the first place?
Well, it all starts at the grassroots. Parents realize that something terrible is going on with their schools. They don't know what it is. They can't figure it out. The kids are coming home with homework assignments that make no sense. They're coming home in tears. You know, why do my classmates hate me? They don't get it. So they try to talk to the teacher. And the teacher doesn't respond, oh, everything's fine. We're just teaching, diversity and inclusion and love and, you know, that sort of thing. And so they're not getting any satisfaction. They try to talk to the principal. They're stonewalled. They try to talk to the Board of Education. They are stonewalled. They try to get a hold of the curriculum. And many states have laws that the parents are entitled to view the curriculum. Even outside of whatever the state freedom of information law is, there are many states like Ohio that have a law saying the parents are entitled to see the curriculum that their children are being taught. No ifs, ands, or buts, they're entitled to it. So when they are stonewalled under the Freedom of Information Act, and the one in Ohio is very weak, it says that they have to produce the information, the documents, within a reasonable time. Well, that means never. But under the other law, the parents are entitled to it immediately. They're hiring lawyers to write letters to the board saying you're violating the law by not providing it. So the parents need to organize. They need to be trained. I get called in when somebody in the neighborhood says, you know, the parents are really confused. Can you come out and talk to us? Parents need to be trained on how to do this and what to look for. To try to influence the board, the local board of education, but more than that, that's not their real audience, because if the board is hardcore leftist critical race theory inclined, they're not going to change anything. The parents' audience is the rest of the general public, people who attend the board meetings, people who watch the board meetings on live stream. Although I understand that some of the local boards are now changing the time of their meetings from the evening to like 10 o'clock in the morning when the parents are at work, you know. So at any rate, but there has to be training for the parents locally to do this. There also has to be, as in my articles, you need to use this parent grassroots support and get your state legislatures to pass effective legislation to prevent critical race theory concepts from being taught in the schools. And I talk about that in some detail in my articles. So my problem is that my attitude is this. I'll get back to it in the details in a minute. But I am general counsel and state of Ohio director of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, which is a Christian pro-Israel organization which has taken on the added duty of taking back America's children. That's part of our mission statement now. So the work I'm doing is in connection with this.
You got it, Michael. You got to be a big fan of Mark Levin, right?
Yes. I'm a big fan of Mark Levin. He doesn't know who I am. But
now, I know that, but
now
you know who he is, and that's what matters, because he's out there barking up the same tree you are, which is admirable, very admirable. And
no,
we appreciate you.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, this is a thing.
I actually testified in a hearing, the Campus Free Speech Act hearing in the Ohio House of Representatives committee, and Ben Shapiro was three chairs away from me. He also testified, as a proponent of the bill. It was kind of fun.
Right. That's neat. See, because, ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand, all my listeners out there, and we've got about a million listeners in our network here, 844-769-2944, you've got to have questions about this. I know, here's the biggest phobia that I think most parents have, Michael, and that is they go to one of these things, and all of a sudden they find themselves in the same boat as Scott Smith, who's just asking, how come you people are covering up my daughter's rape in a restroom? You know, why are you doing that? Next thing you know, he's on the floor. The school district is calling on the president and the DOJ to make everybody a domestic terrorist. I think that's their biggest fear, and they're doing that to shake people up so they don't stand up and do what's right.
Oh, absolutely. It's chilling people's First Amendment right to free speech. They're doing it on purpose. They're trying to scare people. All I can say is I'm really happy that Merrick Garland did not get appointed to the Supreme Court. Thank you.
Oh, you and me both. You know. Yeah. Yeah, that's just incredible.
And I've written about that too. But what happens is this. After the presidential election, I won't get into the election, but I realized that everything was bad and everything was going to get worse. And I tried to focus on one of my areas where I thought I could have some effect. And I chose critical race theory to concentrate on in the state legislatures, because the state legislatures still have authority to get things done. And I've worked with the Ohio General Assembly for a long time. So I realized that everything that was being written was negative. Everything's horrible. And the Democrats are saying, oh, isn't it wonderful that everything's horrible? And the Republicans are writing very fine articles saying everything is terrible. Well, okay. Parents need to go out and get educated about what's wrong, and that's fine. These articles do that. But then they need guidance about what can actually be done about it. And they need to be encouraged to do the things that can be done, which is two things at the local level, grassroots, getting into your school boards, fighting against them. I know that people are afraid of being canceled, and I don't blame them. But the more people you have in the grassroots who are doing this, the less the other side is going to be able to work against you. The other thing is parents have to provide, not just parents, but every citizen who thinks correctly needs to get out there and provide grassroots support for legislative change within their own states. There are lots of bills and laws out there already, and I saw just in something yesterday, well, the states are passing anti-CRT in the schools legislation. Yes, they are. But the bills are very weak, and they're very weak because of politics. I've talked to legislators. I've been on conference calls with legislators who sponsored anti-CRT legislation within their states. And what they say is, well, the bill would be stronger, but unless we stripped out some of the most effective language, we couldn't get the votes to pass it, or the governor wouldn't sign it. And so you wind up with something that isn't effective. One of these articles you were talking about, I make that point. You have to effectively cancel out any possibility of funding for school districts and teachers who teach this stuff. And then you have to have very strict penalties for people who violate your state statute by teaching these, quote, divisive concepts, unquote, that are banned by the statute. So the grassroots is very important. One of the articles I talked about, I talked directly to veterans. When you're talking about critical theory, critical legal theory, critical race theory, you're talking about a group of people who are promoting this, who since 1920 have been fighting a battle against the Constitution of the United States. That's what they're doing. Every one of their concepts is against the Constitution. So as former military people, veterans, should be upholding their oath. Your oath of office doesn't end when you go off of active duty. You have made a commitment to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That's right, and we thank you for your service, sir.
CRT people are not domestic enemies. I don't know what they are. And I talked about that in committee hearings.
You did, and I commend you for your service. You served in the Navy, correct?
Yes, and you served in the Army, and I commend you right back. And you're upholding your oath by doing what you're
doing
on the radio.
Exactly, and that's the way I can contribute the best, other than my only other motto is, if they turn into making this jab a forcible thing, I say come with a syringe and leave with a bullet. So, Chad in North Carolina, you're on the phone with Michael Goldstein.
Yes, sir. I'm not a parent, and frankly, I'd be afraid to try to raise a kid in the society that's growing up around me right now. I saw the rumblings of this kind of stuff going on when I was in elementary school, but I didn't realize it would get this out of control. But Michael, if there's any way you guys could get together with Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson in North Carolina, that's been his thrust, is to turn around the CRT and the pornography in the schools, which apparently hasn't just appeared here, but in other states. And they're just trying to warp the minds of the kids in school. I don't know why anybody would really trust the public school system, period, frankly. But that's been his platform since he became lieutenant governor. And the governor himself, who frankly, I have my doubts that he got in, you know, legally as governor because of all the voting irregularities that have been going on for the last 10, 12 years. He made the board of governors, I found out. Maybe you've heard of that, Governor Cooper. So
National Governors Association.
I guess that's my...
That's your input for today, right?
Might be. What's
yeah.
that?
I said that's your input for today, Chad?
Yes. Chad, you've raised a couple of very good issues, several issues, actually. Not being a parent, and you'd be afraid to raise a kid in this atmosphere, you don't have to be a parent to fight this stuff. You're recognizing that it's very bad, and you can help anyway. Couple of things. Since I wrote those last two articles, the one about removing critical race theory from the schools and for veterans to defend their country against this, I've been getting very serious emails from people, including private citizens, but also from some state legislators who want help in drafting legislation. And from actually one state commissioner of education, where in the state where they're working on their civil rights laws, and he or she actually wants to discuss this and what can be done. So there are voices at high levels in the states. Another thing about the schools and giving up on the schools. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Alex Newman. He writes in the New American for the John Birch Society. He's a brilliant guy, and he believes that the schools are done. We're toast. We need to get our kids out of the schools, and we need to homeschool them or get them into good charter schools where we've looked at the curriculum and everything is fine. Now, I agree with Alex that right-thinking people ought to do that if they can. But let's assume that every one of us who is a right-thinking person does that. What have we left behind us in the public schools? We've left all the other children there to be taught to hate America and to hate each other and everything that's going on. So I believe we have a duty to try to fix as best we can the public schools for those who are left behind once we exit. If we don't do that, we wind up with a two-tiered America, a minority of educated people who think correctly and love this country, and then a majority of people who hate us, hate each other, hate the country. A friend of mine who's a retired Navy captain in 06, he said, with what's going on, the next time there's a war and you want volunteers, why would any of these kids volunteer to protect and defend the United States and the armed forces when they have learned to hate the country? What would be their motivation for signing up? And it's a valid point. We can't just... I don't know that we can fix the public schools. I don't think they will ever come to the point where they say, oh, my God, we're losing all these students. We better fix ourselves. That isn't going to happen because their goal is to turn this country into a Marxist state. And when you have a goal like that, I mean, that's what critical theory was all about from the very beginning. And it hasn't changed since the Russian Revolution of 1917. So, and the other thing is this about isolating. When people are saying, man, we got to get our kids back into the classroom. We're sick of our kids learning from home. It isn't, you know, we can't afford it. And, well, the point is this. The other side is, why would you want your kids to go back to those classrooms? All they're learning is how to be leftist activists and Marxists. And now that you've been able to see some of their remote teaching yourself on their computers, and you've ignored the schools which told you you're not allowed to watch your kids when they're on the computer with us, you've learned what they're learning in school. Why would you want to send them back to it? So it's a conundrum. And I agree with Alex Newman that we need to educate our own kids as much as we can, if we can afford it. A lot of families just can't. But then we have to work to fix our schools, because some of us won't be able to leave. And many, many, many other people won't be able to leave. And it's that's how the majority of kids in this country are being educated, and we have to fix that education if we possibly can.
And that's a sad state of affairs.
Oh, and then so your lieutenant governor, if your lieutenant governor, Mr. Robinson, would like to send me his contact information, ask to chat with me, I'd be happy to talk to him. I can be reached at, it's from Proclaiming Justice of the Nations. It's PJTN. It's Papa Juliet. What's the matter with me? Tango.
Tango November.
November. I'm losing it here. .org. So it's M. Goldstein at PJTN.org. M as in Michael. M. Goldstein at PJTN.org. If you go to the American Thinker articles, my email address is at the end of those two.
And I'm looking at it right now. And we are going into the break here. Michael, we've got, obviously, we want more callers calling in. North Carolina, Chad, thank you so much for that call. And see, even if you're not a parent, you still can step up and do the right thing, and we appreciate that. Like I say, this is one thing, and we're going to keep Michael over the half hour. We're going to take a short break here within the minute. And I want to talk about the 1619 Project and Hannah Nicole Jones. I mean, this whole thing, to me, you know, trying to create a system that generates a bunch of Marxist hellraisers. I mean, it's bad enough we've got Antifa and BLM, and there are things inside BLM, there are misfits in there that are like avowed Marxists. And so, you know, when you're dealing with people like that, and you get people like Kyle Rittenhouse, who's only 18 years old, that says he supports BLM, I don't think he's got the whole story in his brain. We'll come back and talk about the 1619 Project after the break with Michael Goldstein. He just wrote this article in American Thinker. You need to go read it. How to remove critical race theory from our schools. And you need to get active in this, folks. It's important. We'll be back after a very short break. Dave Krieger in the Power Hour. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors, and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour, 12 o'clock noon Central Time. Those of you who are catching in the act of masticating and hopefully not in the bathroom, if we want to engage in a little social intercourse, we still have Michael Goldstein on the line with us. I know that we had a young lady calling into the show, and we want you to call back. You know, some people, we didn't want you to hang up. We want you to call back in because you had a question for us. Question for Michael. You might be a concerned parent. 844-769-2944. We want you to call us and let us know what you're thinking, because the more states that get involved in this, the better. Now, Michael, you have testified before the Ohio legislature on the 1619 project. I know you can speak to that. I'm going to give you the floor. What happened there?
Well, it wasn't before the legislature. It was before the State Board of Education.
Board of Education, okay.
Because they on their Department of Education website, they list the 1619 project curriculum as a resource for teachers. In Ohio, the local boards of education create most of the curricula. But the State Board of Education, they say, oh, we can't tell them what to do. And yet they put this stuff on their website and push it and push it and push it and won't remove it. So I testified before the State Board of Education about the 1619 project and how it needs to be removed. And that was 2 years ago almost, and it has a year and a half, and it has not been removed. They won't take it down, even though the conservative members of the State Board of Education want it taken down. The 1619 project, if people aren't familiar with it, it states that this was a supplement in the New York Times magazine, it wasn't a curriculum until about 3 weeks later. Obviously, the curriculum was ready to go by the Pulitzer Foundation. But the premise is that the United States was not formed in 1776. It was really formed in 1619 when what they described as the first slaves came ashore in what later became the United States in Jamestown, Virginia. And by the way, from a book I got in the 1960s from the Literary Guild, a chronological history of the Negro in America, of all things, I looked at 1619, and it said that a group of black indentured servants arrived in Virginia. They may not have been slaves at all, but just indentured servants. At any rate, that's what the proponents of the 1619 project write about, that the history of America started with the first slaves who came here, and that the entire purpose of the American Revolution was to protect slavery, and that the entire American economy to this very day is based on slavery. And it's a lie. And there were many legitimate academic historians who read everything that was the writings that came out of the 1619 project, and they were livid. They said none of this is correct. Well, they didn't say none of this is correct, but the premises are wrong and the history is wrong. It's just not right. And Phil Magnus, one of those historians, approached Anna Nicole Jones, the editor from the New York Times. This is her project, with the criticism that it's false, it's not true history. And her response was, so what? We don't care. In the first place, we're not saying it's history. And it's a narrative. And our object is to change the narrative of America from America is an exceptional, wonderful place to America is a terrible place. You know, and it's only the narrative that counts. There are no such thing, and this is where it ties up with critical theory and critical race theory. They don't believe in objective, demonstrable, empirical fact. Those don't count. They don't really exist. That's where their brains work differently from ours. They believe that what counts is stories, narratives, and they can write whatever they want about them. So the American narrative has to be changed. That's the entire object of this, and that's what they're doing in the schools. Now, 1619 Project falsely blames all the problems in the black communities in America on the institution of slavery and American institutional racism from our founders to the present. That cannot be taught to our students because it's just wrong. The problems were not. And look, you look at the 100 years from the end of the Civil War, 1865 to 1965, regardless of the fact that there was racism in this country, the black communities were just fine. They had good economic institutions. They were entrepreneurs. The out-of-wedlock birth rate was lower than the white. Birth rate is down around 21% until 1965 and the Civil Rights Acts, which were, by the way, passed by the Republicans, not by the Democrats. Then the Democrats came into the inner cities and destroyed them by putting everybody on welfare, and everything went to hell. It did. So that's the institutional racism, by the way. The institution is the Democratic Party. So, and having campaigned in the inner city, I was mentioning to Dave earlier before we were on the air that my wife ran for Congress twice in the inner city of Cleveland. We campaigned there for 3.5 years. We know that the problems of the inner city are not caused by white racism, because that's not what's happening. They try to blame it on the Republicans, but there hasn't been a Republican elected there since 1983. The problems are based on the Democratic Party trying to keep people ignorant. The illiteracy rate in the city of Cleveland, defined by you can't read well enough to qualify for job training, so you're going to be on government assistance your whole life. The illiteracy rate within the city of Cleveland is 66%. In the city of East Cleveland, which is even poorer, and 95% black, the illiteracy rate is 87%. So
that's awful.
But that's the problem. And they have been represented by Democrats at the state, the city, the state level, and in Congress since the 60s. So, or at least, yeah, since the 60s for the most part. And so that's why I wrote an article in American Thinkers entitled, I think, The Democrats Own the Ills of the Inner City, where Ben Shapiro says that there's no more institutional racism in this country. I disagree, because the institution is the Democratic Party that's doing it. So the 1619 Project bases all the problems of the inner city and the black communities are based on slavery. It's not true. It's just not true at all. And we can't allow our children to be taught this false history, which even the editor says is not really history. So why is it being taught? It's being taught in thousands of school districts around the country.
It is. And then Trudy in California, did you call back in?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And I'm going to go ahead and talk to Michael. You have a question for him, right?
Well, no, not so much a question, but I have some information that I'm sure Mr. Goldstein, because he seems to be very heartfelt in his pursuit of justice with the school systems, that I'm sure he would be happy to know. So, Mr. Goldstein, I don't know, I'm sure you're aware that this is a globalist propaganda, and I'm just going to give you some dates and what happened in those dates, and then you're going to see how it all builds up. In September 28th of 2021, Democrat gubernatorial candidate Terry McAuliffe from Virginia said, "I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach." And then in the next date is September 29th, 2021, and the National School Board Association was asked to rescind their September 29, 2021 letter to Democratic President Joe Biden requesting that parents be labeled as domestic terrorists and, by extension, limiting parental participation in the political process. Then we have the next date on September 30th, same year, Democratic President Joe Biden's Education Secretary Miguel Cardona said parents should not be the primary stakeholders in their kids' education. This was before the state committee. Now, that's the two words you have to understand. Now, there is a struggle and a fight for who is the primary stakeholder in a child's education. Parents are saying they are. The educational system is saying, no, we are. And then
well,
the next state is...
Yeah, yes? Go ahead. Trudy, I got to say that this is something that bothers me, is that every year we are paying property taxes that are going to this school system, and they're going to waste. Would you agree with that statement?
Well, absolutely. I mean, to send a child to school, I'm going to give you an example. Let's put them through the Holocaust, show them movies, have them read books, essays, and then during those teachings tell them, you are responsible for this. You did this. You did this to a fifth grader, a sixth grader. Really good way of teaching self-esteem. This is a propagandist, Marxist, globalist propaganda, and we all know it. So the next day is November 16th, an FBI whistleblower disclosed evidence of federal counterterrorism tools being used to target parents, directly contradicting U.S. AG Garland's October 4th congregational testimony. And then the last one is, whereas as of November 24th, 2021, 26 states have repudiated the repercussions of the NSDA letter, and 15 states have rescinded their membership with NSDA. So this is what parents are struggling right now. They are working through the slow, frozen molasses of what is the school board education system to resolve just one question, and that is that legislators need to pass a bill to clearly define terrorism and domestic terrorism in all U.S. state codes and distinguish it from criminal activity to ensure due process for all members of the United States of America, i.e. teachers. Now, when we're looking at this mountain of inequity, because they are after our children, they want them removed either physically from the earth or they want to have them trained to be sodomists, to be weird, to take in drugs like that horrid drug that's, you know, that they used to, the drug that they're using to adenochrome, I forget what, yeah, that's what it should be called.
Yeah, adrenochrome.
Adrenochrome. Yeah. You know, this is propaganda with the next generation. Get
Trudy,
your children
Trudy,
Michael's responding here.
And I have written about this, about Merrick Garland and what he did, and about that entire timeline that you're talking about. Yes, that's what's going on. As we talked about at the beginning of the program, this is all done to chill speech by parents, and the grassroots has to get really active and fight this. The national and states, and as you said, state school board associations have gotten out of, they've resigned from the National School Board Association over this issue, as they should. And it's very important. And by the way, you're in California, and your ethnic studies curriculum is just a terrible thing that's going on. When the first proposed curriculum came out, it was huge, and it's not only racist, it's anti-Semitic. It's just a terrible thing, and they haven't changed it very much, and they're adopting it. So I actually asked my assistant, state Ohio State Director of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, to read it, go through it, and I thought she was, her head was going to explode. The glossary is 30 pages, and they change all the language. It's a terrible thing that's going on in California, and that's because it's a one-party state, and that party happens to be the leftist party, and the governor isn't helping much. So I don't know what Californians can do about it. I'm here in Arizona now. We're getting a lot of people moving out of California coming here. Some of them are coming for the right reasons. Others are coming because the taxes are too high in California, but they bring their politics with them. And that's a very, very bad thing, because their politics ruin everything they touch.
This is a situation for the whole United States of America. Every 50 states, pull your children out of school now. Give them that year of relief. When they go to school, all the educators are vaccinated. They are exposed to the variants. They're bringing those variants home with them. 1 year is not going to do anything.
We talked about that. I talked with Dave about that a few minutes ago. Not everybody can bring their children home, and that's why we have to continue to fix the public schools. By all means, if you can homeschool your kids or send them to a private school that teaches the right stuff, that's wonderful. But we can't abandon our schools to the communist left.
We're still paying taxes no matter what, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no matter what. Yeah, that's a sad state of affairs in America, Trudy.
But you can contact me. If you were listening before, did you catch my email address?
Yes, I did. I'm still involved with my local school board district that I don't think I will contact you. But I'm just using this because my heart goes out to those children. They are innocent.
Sure.
And parents have a moral and spiritual obligation before God and his son, Christ Jesus, to protect those children.
Well, biblically, the responsibility for teaching the children is placed on the parents. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, not the school board. So, thank you. I really appreciate your call. Go ahead.
Simply change the edicts on a federal level that, number one, the foundation, one of the cornerstones of education is that parents, not educators, are the stakeholders of their children's future. When that is recognized, parents will regain their voice back.
Yeah, we appreciate that comment, too. Thank you so much, Trudy, for calling. Michael, so, I mean, largely in part a lot of what the problem is. The email, for those of you who do want to contact Michael, is mgoldstein@pjtn.org. That's pjtn.org. mgoldstein@pjtn.org. So we got that. You wrote it down. And, Michael, well, I'm sure you'd love to hear from our listeners. And so as far as citizen action goes, I mean, you've described a lot of this stuff in the article in American Thinker. I think it's, really important. And this PJTN is a nonprofit, right?
That's right. And what we do is we're educating people. We are a 501c3. We're educating legislators. We're educating the general public on what the issues are. So that's what we do. And hopefully it will have some effect.
Effect. I'm sure it will, too, because see here, folks, for those of you who want to make a difference, there's a couple of moms in North Carolina that actually are starting this thing. We posted it on one of our recent blog posts here on the show on thepowerhour.com, and we have a newsletter that goes out every day. And all this information, including Michael's email, is posted in there where you can link to the article and read it. And understand, when you have a nonprofit group that is willing to come and back you in your fight in your local school district or give you the necessary input of the tools to help you fight this thing and get CRT out of the school. I mean, you can't ask for better backup than that. You need that kind of support, folks. You're not in this alone. There are millions of other parents in America that are truly upset with this. And so, you know, we're giving an opportunity to do it, which is why we had Michael Goldstein on the Power Hour today. Michael, I thank you so much for joining us. And best wishes, good luck, and happy new year to you. And much success in moving the Proclaiming Justice to the Nations forward. And God bless the work you do, sir.
Thank you, Dave, and God bless the work you do. We're all in it for the long haul.
Yes, we are, sir.
The opportunity.
Thank you so much, and we'll have you back in the future. We appreciate you. All right, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, there you go. And this is just one example of the things that we do to try to help America recover from this, I hate to use the word bitch slap, but, I mean, we really are in that kind of an economic situation right now. Everybody is feeling the pinch. You go to the grocery store, you feel the pinch. You go to the gas pump, you feel the pinch. And now you have to sit there and open up that tax bill every year, and you got to pay a school system that is teaching this kind of garbage. Folks, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't feel like having them rewrite the history that I learned the right way so that our kids in the future can come out learning history the wrong way and end up hating themselves and committing suicide because they feel so bad that it's all their fault. You know, who told them that? I mean, these teachers are not psychologists. They have no business teaching our kids to hate themselves. This is what's bad about the whole nine yards. And then we're talking about health care. Here's something before we go, because we don't have a whole lot of time left. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, in a policy reversal, have announced that it's going to start enforcing the COVID-19 vaccine mandate to facilities in half of the U.S. states where the mandate hasn't been judicially enjoined. And so you're going to see a lot of backlash because of this. And what they're doing is a facility that is above 80% and has a plan to achieve 100% staff vaccination rate within 60 days would not be subjected to additional enforcement action. Under that mandate, a facility not in compliance with the rule will be at risk of losing its Medicare or Medicaid funding status. That, folks, is nothing but blackmail. It's nothing but extortion. And this is what you get when you depend on the government for things. There's always strings attached. If you go to the article that we're posting on the upcoming piece that we put out, because we put out an email blast every day with the show, you can go to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Reinstates COVID-19 Vaccine Mandate article by Epoch Times, and you can read the list of states that are affected, that are not affected, and it will tell you whether or not your state has something to worry about. I can tell you the free states like Florida, they got something to worry about because it covers Florida. It does not cover Texas at the moment. The lockdowns, as far as the technocracy news is concerned, were one of the greatest peacetime policy disasters of all time, concludes Professor Douglas Allen in a paper just published by the International Journal of the Economics of Business. You have to understand, these lockdowns were bad for everybody. They just kept moving the goalpost, and it's only getting worse unless you fight back. That's what's important. And now we have endless boosters. Do you know in Australia they got 7 boosters for everybody over there? I mean, they really want to stick all these nanotechnology particles into their system. And every time they get a booster shot, this is what happens. Their immune system continues to weaken, and they get cancer. And like I said, people aren't realizing it now. Dr. Michael Yeadon from Pfizer, who is no longer there, he was their chief scientific officer and VP of Pfizer, warned everybody, please don't take the jab. If you do, and they're just poo-pooing all this off because they believe everything the government said instead of one lowly scientist that the government is constantly trying to debunk. We also want to let you know, for those of you pro-life folks out there that haven't been paying attention, Sarah Weddington, who was the Texas lawyer who at age 26 successfully defended Roe versus Wade in the Supreme Court, has died this past week at age 76. You know, I obviously feel sorry for her family. The fact is she was doing her job, but she had beliefs, and those beliefs ended up helping to supplant the pro-life movement in Roe versus Wade and whether or not the Mississippi or the case that's going on there is going to have an effect. The Supreme Court is going to decide whether to overturn it in part, in full. You know, the Supreme Court always rules narrowly, no matter what. They're always going to give a narrow ruling. They always do. They look and they nitpick, because this is the way our courts have become these days, is they want to nitpick at things that they can get away with and not have to answer or deny answering or ship things around to answer the way they want to answer it. Just one of those things. Cryptocurrency, I'm not in it. Here's an example of why. A Mark Cuban-linked crypto platform has been hit with the first nationwide class action lawsuit in Miami federal court. South Florida attorneys that filed the case allege Voyager Digital Companies inflicted over $1 billion in damages as a result of their false common representations to their customers on a publicly traded cryptocurrency platform. So you got to know about that case. Stuart Grossman and Rachel Wagner first. They are the partners at Grossman, Roth, Yaffa, Cohen, and Adam Moskowitz, managing partner at the Moskowitz Law Firm, represent the plaintiff, Mark Cassidy. So you got to know, this is what's crazy about all this, folks. It's happening. Dave Krieger with you, wishing you a happy new year, no matter what your resolution is. We're going to have a short week. We'll have rebroadcasts tomorrow. And so until next year, 2022, Dave Krieger saying God bless you and God bless the United States of America. Stay safe.
All heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.